So we are holding on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, about a third of the way down the Amud. We discussed yesterday that we had two brises regarding the instructions that Moshe gave to Aaron and his sons about eating the korbanos on the eighth day of the Miluim, which is also the day that Nadav and Abihu died. We had one brise saying that Moshe was told that they should eat it by Nidrus. And then we had another one that the reason why they burnt the korbanos is precisely because they were Onanim and Moshe agreed that that was the right thing to do. So how does that fit? If Hashem told them that they eat it by Nidrus, then how does that fit? So we said two possibilities. Shmuel said that these two brises represent the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon on the one hand and Rabbi Nechemiah on the other, where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are saying that the korban was burnt because it became tameh, not because they were Onanim, because they were told that they should eat it as Onanim, but truma is something else, versus Rabbi Nechemiah would say that they were not told to eat it as Onanim. Moshe deduced that on his own, and therefore Aaron pointed out to him that that's not necessarily a valid deduction. That's one answer. When they were Onanim that day, because that day they were Onanim after Nadav and Abihu died, despite the fact that they were Onanim, right? Even though normally a Kohen is not allowed to eat korbanos when they're an Onan, right? The other possibility we said, so that was Shmuel's explanation. Then we had Rava's explanation that actually both Braises are according to Rav Nechemiah. But Rav Nechemiah would say that that within the instructions from Hashem, there's a difference between Kodshe Shah and Kodshe Dirt. One-time korbanos, such as the korbanos of the Miluim, which those they were told to eat even though they're owning him, versus the korban of Rosh Chodesh, which they were told, which Moshe was not explicitly told about that. He understood on his own that the same thing should apply to it, and Aaron tells him that that's not a valid deduction, as we're going to see in the Gemara. We're holding Rav Nechemiah. The line begins Rav Nechemiah, about a quarter of the way down the Amud. The most is Rav Nechemiah heichem etaris lahani kroy. Okay, so now let's go. According to Rav Nechemiah, how is he going to understand? How is he going to read in his explanation in the Sukkim? Rabbanon and the Rabbanon, meaning Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, how are they going to understand these Sukkim? So it's like this. Rav Nechemiah etaris lahu hakri. Rav Nechemiah is going to understand the Sukkim as follows. Again, we should probably, so we have a chumash over here, since Aaron helpfully brought over one yesterday, so we should probably first read out the actual psukim, and then go from there. The actual psukim is, so Moshe finds out that the korban was burnt, by Yitzchak, and he gets angry at Allah Zohar and Yitzchak. He says like this, Madua Mayachalta Mechachatas in Kremah Kodesh, why did you not eat the chatas in the holy place, meaning in the Azara, Ki Kodesh Kodesh indeed, because it's holy of holies, and you were supposed to be eating it. Right. But oysam not, we're going to see also in the Gemara that each of these phrases that he's using is meant to forestall or is meant to answer a question of what could have happened that made the korban possible. It continues, but oysam not on Hashem will say to Zavona Eda, after all Hashem gave it to you to bear and to take away the Averis of the congregation. This is actually mentioned on the Pasuk, this is how we know it's the Sorer of the Shodesh, because the other two Seirim weren't specifically meant for Kapara. L'chapra, they're the ones of the Miluim and the ones of Nachshon. And the one of Nachshon, we're not specific. The one of Rosh Chodesh is meant for a kapara, as we learned way back in Shavuot. That's almost an official kodesh. L'chaper aleim b'fnei Hashem, to atone for them before Hashem. Then he continues, Hein lehuva as domo el kodesh pnima. After, behold, the blood of it was not brought into the kodesh, in the inner part, meaning in the kodesh or the kodesh hakadoshim, where it would become fossil, as we learned earlier in the sector. Achol tochlo eis of a kodesh, so you should have eaten it in the kodesh, kasher tibeti, as I commanded. Then by Dabra Aaron al Moshe, so Aaron speaks to Moshe, and he said, "Hein hayoyim, behold, today ikrivu as chatosim that they lost on lishne Hashem. They offered their chatos and their oil lishne Hashem before Hashem. That ikrena oisi ka'ila, and such things happened to me. Ve'achalti chatos hayoyim. If I were to eat a chatos today, hayitav da'ene Hashem, would it be good in Hashem's law?" And the result, vayitav Moshe, vayishma Moshe, vayitav da'ene. Moshe heard, and it was good in his eyes. He accepted Aaron's argument. So now let's see how Rav Nechemiah understands these psukim. Rav Nechemiah, who's saying either according to Shmuel that Rav Nechemiah doesn't necessarily hold the distinction between Kodshe Shah and Kodshe Doris. He understands that he would understand that they were not told to eat it, that they were not told it to eat it by Ninus, and therefore they correctly burnt it because they were in him. Versus, and then we have Rava's explanation that Rav Nechemiah would say that yes, Moshe was told that they should eat it even though they're owning it, but that only applied to Kodesh Shah. So let's see how that would work. From the Chemia would understand the Pasuk as follows. Madua Loyachal. Then he starts by asking them, why didn't you eat the carbon? And in continuation of that, Omaloy Moshe Aaron. So Moshe asks Aaron, Shema Nishnas Domo Lefnai Velefnim. Maybe is the reason why you didn't eat it because the blood was brought into the Heichal, was brought into the actual building of the Mishkan, and that would make it possible. Omaloy, and Aaron answers to Moshe, no, Hein Lehova Asdoma. No, behold, the blood was not brought in. Now that actually in the Pasuk, Hein Lehova Asdoma is part of Moshe's. Is part of Moshe's speech, but that it amounts to, in other words, from Moshe saying that, we can deduce what he and Aaron discussed, or what he and Elazar and Isamar discussed, in the case maybe. So in other words, Moshe, is it? Yes, because you're telling me the blood wasn't brought in. Therefore, how could it be that? Therefore, how could it be that you broke it? He says, Shema Chosum Chisot Yosef. Maybe the other way around. Maybe you took the blood or the meat outside of the Kloyim, outside of the Azara, which we learn that from the word Pnima, because Hein Lehova Asdoma LaKodesh automatically means in the Kodesh. Pnima is an extra word, so therefore we can doubt it to mean that he asked me maybe the other way around. Maybe you took it beyond the limits where it's supposed to go, meaning outside of the Azara. And the answer is no. Amalei BaKodesh. He said no. He says it was BaKodesh. It remained in the Kodesh, in the Azara throughout. So the Duma Baninus Akrivtua of Saltura. So Moshe continues, maybe you were macro with it when you were owning him. Maybe you were macro with it after Nadav and Abihu died. And by the way, the Mephoshim on the Pasuk deal with that question. On the face of it, the Psukim before that say that they finished bringing the Korbanos and then Nadav and Abihu died. So on the face of it, everything was finished before that. So one possibility, I think the Ramban and some other Mephoshim on the Pasuk discussed it, maybe Moshe wasn't certain after all. Okay, maybe they shechted this particular korban before Nadav and Abihu died, but maybe they sprinkled the blood on the afterwards. And then you have some of the Pasuk, in fact, saying that, in fact, you can see in the wording of the Pasuk what's the matter. Okay. You can actually see in the wording of the Pasuk that you have, it describes over there how he finished doing the chatas and the ola and the shlomim, meaning of the miloi. Not necessarily had they even shechted the korban of Rosh Chodesh yet at that point. So then maybe so that Moshe is asking, and maybe you did the avodah afterwards after you owned him, and therefore you made a kossel. Omalei Moshe. So Aaron says, Moshe, hey, me kribul. What do you think? They brought the korban? I'm the crafty. I brought it. And I'm the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol is allowed to be makriv as an oinim. So that's when he says, Hein hayomi krivu es chatotam ve'aselotam, Rav Nechemya will understand that as Aaron asking, do you think that it's they who brought their chatas and their oila? It was me. It was me. And I'm allowed to as an oinim. So therefore, so now, omalei Moshe, so now Moshe says, nu, hein lo hovas doma, so the blood wasn't brought any place where it shouldn't have been, or bakodesh ho, so the korban remained in the holy place throughout, and the only one who offered it, you're saying, was you, therefore, achol toch loi, sakashe sive, si banin, and tech lua, therefore, you should have eaten it as I commanded you that you're supposed to eat it banin. So why did you burn it? Omaloi, and so now Rav Nechemya continues, explaining the psukim, so now Aaron answers to him, that when such things happen to me, meaning that Nadav and Abihu died, the chalti chatas hayoyim, if I were to eat the chatas today, and as we're going to say in the Gemara later, the word hayoyim actually can have a different meaning also. It can mean the chalti chatas hayoyim, if I were to eat the chatas that is being offered today, meaning the chatas of Rosh Chodesh, hayita ve'enei Hashem, would it be good in Hashem's eyes? Meaning, Rav Nechemya says, Shema lo shamaita el b'kod sheshah, maybe the din that you heard from Hashem only refers to kod sheshah. This is Aaron speaking, this is what they were explaining according to Rav Nechemya. In particular, Rashi says this is all according to Rava. Tosfos discusses that actually maybe even Shmuel would accept this, maybe even Shmuel, who said before that it's machloikas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon on the one hand, versus Rav Nechemya on the other hand, about whether they burnt it because of Aninu, or about the two braises over there, whether they were commanded by Aninu Tichlu or not. Shmuel, Tosfos says, may also agree that Rav Nechemya would also hold that within eating it by Aninu, there's a difference between Kodshishah and Kodshidur. Anyway, the point is that, so he said, Shemala Shemaita al Shah, maybe Moshe, what you heard from Hashem only refers to the Kodshim that are a one-time thing, the ones of the Miluim and the one of Nashim. And the reason, and why shouldn't it apply to Kodshe Dodis? Even Kodshe Dodis, because if you were to think that it applies logically also to Kodshe Dodis, I can slog that up. I can bring you a Kavachomer to the contrary based on Maiseh, which is much more lenient. So we're discussing over here. That in Parashat Shemini you have that one of the korbanos that was brought on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the eighth day of the Miluim, was burnt. That korban was the sorrow that was brought to the chatas for Rosh Chodesh, and Moshe is interrogating the laws only summer to find out why. Nothing went wrong with it. It wasn't taken out of the Azara. It wasn't brought into the Heichal. Even though you're an owner and you're a Kohen Gadol and you're allowed to, etc. So nothing wrong happened with it. So why did you burn it instead of? So according to this explanation, Aaron is telling him, fine, Moshe, you told us we're supposed to eat the korbanos even though we're owning him, even though our close relative Nadav and Abihu died today. However, that logically can only apply to Kodesh Shah, only to one-time korbanos. But based on the Kavachomer that we're going to use, we can show that it doesn't apply to Kodesh Dor, to ones that are going to be brought in future generations. Kavachomer. Kodesh Shah are the one-time thing. Yeah. Just that one time.
Right.
Okay. The dedication and Mishkan and Panashim.
And the Rosh Chodesh offering that's
going to
be offered every Rosh Chodesh from now on.
This is based on a Kavachomer from Meister, which is much more lean. Because we see Kavachomer, Meister Sheni doesn't have to be eaten by Koyanim, Meister Sheni, even a Mechutz of Kippurim can eat it, etc. Uma Meister Akal, now Madach Meister, which is more lenient, Omra Torah Loyachalti Ba'oni Menu, and yet the Torah tells us that when a person makes Bidri Meister, when a person disposes of his Meister in the fourth and the seventh year, when he gives them all away, all the Meister to all the places where it's supposed to go, Meister Rishon to the Levim, Meister Oni to the Aniyim, etc., then he makes the declaration, the Arti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, that's in Parashat Kitavot. No, it's Midaraisa. And he says, part of that declaration is, he says, I did not eat from this Meister Sheni while I was an Onin, from which we learn that there is a loisef there to eat it as an Onin. Because the Rambam gives a general rule in this regard. Whenever the Torah tells you that you're obligated to declare, I didn't do such and such, that implies that such and such is a loisef there. But because he has to declare, that implies there's a lab to eat it. Therefore, the Kodshe Dodas like Holshkin, how much more so that should apply to Kodshim that are going to grow up throughout the generation, namely the Korban of Rosh, which is much more, which I the Korbanus, I've got much more of a Chomer for them. They can't be eaten. They can only be eaten by Koyanim and only in the Azara and only within a certain time frame, etc. So logically, this that you heard from Hashem, that we should eat the Korbanus when we're owning him, logically should only apply to the Korbanus that are unique for today, not the one of Rosh Chodesh, which is going to be brought for generations to come. Miyad, so immediately, Vayishma Moshe Vayita Beinov, the Moshe heard, as the Pasuk says, and was good in his eyes, meaning, Hodev, like Moshe Loima, Lo Shamaiti, means Moshe admitted right away, he was not embarrassed to say, I didn't hear, Elo Omer Shamaiti Vishachati, he said rather, I heard this from Hashem, and I forgot. There's actually a few different explanations of what exactly we mean over here, Lo Bosh Loima, Lo Shamaiti. One of them is, he could have covered up for it by saying, I didn't actually hear what Hashem said about Kodshe Jodas. I didn't hear from Hashem. You're telling me that not. So okay, I agree with that. But instead of covering up for himself like that, he says flat out, I did hear from Hashem about Kodshe Jodas, but I forgot. Right. And the Chassam Sofer actually has a very interesting vote on it, which is
that's
the Gemara saying that, yeah. So there's a Chassam Sofer has a very interesting take on what happened over here is, on the face of it, He learns the expression he learns it almost the other way around. If Moshe would have said, I heard it and I forgot it, okay, it happens, the person forgets. Moshe is after all only a human being. But if he says, Lo Shamaiti, meaning in other words, that he says, I deduced this on my own, and it turned out to be a wrong deduction, as Aaron is telling him, on the face of it, Moshe could have used an excuse, he could have justified to himself, he could have rationalized to himself, you know, I better not do that. If I do that, then people are going to call into question, am I really the right one to be transmitting the Torah to the Jewish people? I mean, after all, the Torah is transmitted, it can't be possible that Moshe is telling us something that's mistaken. Therefore, if he was mistaken in his derivation in this case, how do we know he's not mistaken in derivations in other places? Nevertheless, Moshe didn't make any such cheshbonus, and he went flat out and said, Moshe Maiti, that I didn't hear this from Hashem. I made my own deduction, and as you're telling me, Aaron, it turned out to be wrong.
But in a way, it's impossible that he could have cut it up and without shaming himself. It's incompatible. If he had said something different...
No, but that's the thing. If he had said... According to the Chassam Sofer's way of looking at it, if he had said, you know, you're right, Aaron, I heard this, but I forgot it. Okay, it happened. He's human. But he didn't want to use such an excuse. He wasn't worried about what are people going to think. Maybe Moshe's transmission of the Torah isn't trustworthy or whatever. No, we got to tell the truth. The truth is that I didn't hear this from Hashem, and the truth is that I didn't hear this from Hashem. I made my own deduction, and it turned out to be wrong. So that shows the integrity of Moshe.
Moshe
Maiti. So he didn't say, he wasn't embarrassed to say Moshe Maiti. Ella Omar Shemaiti v'Shachachti would mean, I guess, according to the Chassam Sofer, that is, whereas he could have said Shemaiti v'Shachachti, which would have been, so to speak, a more acceptable. No, there's two different ways. Okay, again, there's two different ways of understanding. One is that Moshe is admitting that he forgot, which is in a way more embarrassing. The other way around. He's admitting that he didn't hear this in the first place and made his own derivation and it turned out to be wrong and not worried about the fact that people are going to think that maybe from now on we can't trust any derivation of Moshe. So two different ways of understanding the words of the Gemara. All right. Okay. Okay, I didn't have a chance to see it. But okay. Okay, so that's all according to the Mishnah. Now let's go back on the Pesukim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Hechim, Tatsulahu. So now Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who held, as we said before, that the korban wasn't burnt because of Aninus, because according to them, according to them, even as Onanim, they should be eating it. They was burnt because it became Tomei. So how do they explain the Pesukim? So they're going to understand the Pesukim as follows. Let's start again. He says to them, why didn't you eat the chatas in the holy place? Meaning, again, as in the previous explanation, as in Reb Nechemiah's explanation, he asks them, Shemen Nishnas Dom L'Fnai B'Lefim, did you maybe bring the blood of it into the Heichol, which would make it possible? Omaloi, and he tells him, no, no, the blood was not brought in. He says, Shema Chutzim Chitzotza Yotzot. Again, as in Reb Nechemiah's explanation, maybe you took it outside the courtyard of the Mishkan. No. Omaloi Hein Bakodesh. So he says, no, it remained in the Kodesh. He says, again, as in Reb Nechemiah's Vidilma Ba'aninus Akvatura Upsaltura, maybe you offered it when you Kohenim were owning him, and that would make it possible, because a regular Kohen is not allowed to do the Avoda when he's an owner. Everybody agrees to that. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, same thing as before. You think they offered it? Hein hayoyim hikribu? Do you think they're the ones who offered it? Hein meaning them. Men meaning Allah during the summer. Do you think they're the ones who were makar of it, the pasul of Aninus, where Aninus would make it pasul because they're kohenim at Yochim? I'm the one who was makar of it, and I'm the kohen gadol, and the kohen gadol is able to be makar of it as an oinen. So then, now he was there, our second explanation of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is going to depart from the previous one of Rabbi Nechemiah. Because now, Moshe then, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, continues so you're telling me that it became Tomei, the Dilma Agav Miraraihu, maybe because of your bitterness, maybe because of your mourning, because of your tsar, Rashi says, Pshai Tubav Itamoi, maybe you were Pesheya, maybe you were careless with it, and thus it became Tomei, and that's why you broke it. So Aaron says that Moshe, Kachani Beinecha, is that what I am in your eyes, Chanimuvazet, Kod Shishamayim, that you think I would treat Kod Shem of Hashem lightly and be careless with them? So in the previous explanation, he says, Vatikrena Oisi Ko'ela, he means Ko'ela, such things happened to me, meaning I became an Onan, and therefore we couldn't eat it. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who learned that they could have eaten it as Onan, they have to understand the words, Vatikrena Oisi Ko'ela, differently. Vatikrena oisi ka'ela means that Aaron is saying, vafilu ela v'ka'ela, even if such and such things happen, even if avelos and other terrible tragedies would happen to me, I would never get distracted, ein ani mevazet kodshe shemayim. I would never treat the kodshim so lightly that I would be mevazet. That's why it says ka'ela, meaning not just ela, these things happen that none of an Abiyu died. Even if ka'ela, even if many other such tragedies were to happen, Moshe, you know me better, Aaron is saying, I wouldn't be like that.
Ka'ela. Include worse things?
Yeah, the pashtas. Or whatever, equal things. Yeah. No, but whatever. I mean, for that matter, actually, you know, you have Rashi mentions in the next week's parasha, actually, that by rights, all of Aaron's sons should have died as a result of, after all, Aaron made the eagle. Moshe's tefillah was machaker. What do you mean? Aaron, the fact is, I mean, with all the excuses that we have, that he was trying to stall for time and he didn't want to kill him like they killed Hur, et cetera, et cetera. The fact is, so in the puzzle. So later on you have the Egosha off to Aaron. So the fact is, Aaron was involved in it. He had the best reasons, fine, but the Eidoshah also judges Tzadikim very swiftly. So by rights, all of Aaron's sons should have died as a result of that. Instead, Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, and actually Moshe says in Parashas Ekev, or Espal Gamba Ad Aaron Ba'Isaida, Davin for Aaron at that time, and that was Mechato for half, so therefore only two of his children died rather than four. But therefore, the point is, Aaron is saying, even if Ka'ela, even if not just two of them, even if all four of them were gone, nevertheless, you think that I'm the kind of person who would be Mevazek Kodesh Shemayim. Amalai, so Moshe says, new. The E, Hein Lehova Zoma, Uva Kodesh Hosta. Fine, so if there was nothing wrong with it, is if the blood wasn't brought in and it was in the Kodesh, also Toslo Oseba Kodesh Kashi Sibesi, and you should have eaten it in the Kodesh as I commanded. Why'd you burn it? Namely, that you should have been eating it even though you were in it. So now, in Reb Nechemiah's explanation before, we said that Aaron answers there's a difference between Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Dirt. In Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, we don't need that distinction. We use a different distinction. Amaloi, Aaron says to Moshe, Shemaloi Shamaita Elabalaila. Maybe what you heard from Hashem, that we should be eating it, even though we're owning him, is referring only to the following night. By day, I would argue that that's a different type of aninus, where therefore that doesn't override the eating of Kodshim, or at least not, which does not override the eating of Kodshim. But that's why we're bringing in discussion, the connection with Aninus Yerim and Aninus Laila, right? So we said before, Rabbi Yehuda holds that only at that time was it Osir by day and Mutter by night. Lodurus in future generations, when you can anyway have other Kayanim available to eat the Korbanus, both the day and the night are Osir, right? So Rabbi Yehuda is going according to that shift, is right. So maybe what you heard from Hashem is that we should be eating it the following night. The Iba Yoim, because if you're going to tell me that we should eat it by day, again, I could slug that up. Kavachomim and Meister Akal. So again, that's contradicted by the Kavachomim from Meister, which is more lenient. Meister Akal on Retortaloy Akalti Ba'oni Menu. Madak Meister, which is more lenient, then the Torah says you can't eat from it in a time of Aninus. Kodesh Chomer like Oshkin. How much more so Kodeshim, which are more Chomer. So therefore, in other words, So again, Rabbi Yehuda, who's saying that there's a distinction between now and future generations, is going to say, therefore, that by day, where Aninus applies even now, then if it applies to Maaser, it would surely apply to Kodshin, whether Kodshin Shor or whether Kodshin Yodah, so Rabbi Yehuda is not making that distinction. Where is by night? Since in this particular case, Aninus doesn't apply by night, then fine, we're meant to eat it by night. Tosfos actually asks the question that's on the face of it, if according to the Yehuda, you have Aninus Laila Jaraita Lodurus applies in future generations, then you should be able to use the same Kavachot. So Tosfos leaves it as a question.
So if
according to the Yehuda, Aninus applies by night or so Jaraita, then it would apply to Maaser. So why are we not saying over here? Okay, that just leaves it as a question. Miyad vayishma Moshe vayisa beinav. So right away, as the pasuk continues, Moshe heard and it was good in his eyes. Again, like we said before, like Bosh Moshe loyma lo shamaiti. Moshe wasn't embarrassed to say I didn't hear. El shamaiti v'shachasi. Rather, he said I heard it and I forgot it. According to the various explanations that before, the test of the three things. So that's the bottom line is, so now we have Rav Yehuda's way of understanding it, and we have Rav Nechemiah's way of understanding it. So now, the only thing we have to figure out is, in that case, why did, so according to Rav Yehuda, Why Packer didn't they leave it until the night and eat it over there? Why did they burn it during the day? The answer is Tumah Ba'onus, Basa, because a Tumah happened to Ba'onus. That's what they were planning to do. They were planning to keep it for the night because according to the Yehuda's understanding, the iron is saying we could have Packer eaten it by night. But then, sometime during the day, by accident, it became Tumah. So now, as Moshe was saying before, maybe you were careless and it became Tumah, and Aaron tells him very strongly that I would never be so careless. But here, where it had to, of necessity, but that was because Moshe was under the impression that they should be eating it even by day. Whereas Aaron is clarifying to him, according to Rabbi Huda's understanding, that the only time we could have eaten it is by night. Well, then it's not a matter of carelessness anymore. Then, during the whole period, from during the daytime and until the night comes, there's chances for it to become Tumah. Okay. So now, let's analyze some details of the Pesukim a little more. B'shleim l'Rabbanan, I can understand according to the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who say that there's no difference in this regard between Kodshe Shah and Kodshe Doris. Either way, they would have been allowed to eat them by night and not by day. So therefore, Heinu Dechtiv Hayyoyin. That's why Aaron stresses in his answer, V'achalti Chatas Hayyoyin. You wanted me to eat a Chatas today, whereas I hold that I shouldn't be eating it by day, only on the following night when Aninus doesn't apply anymore. But according to Rav Nechemya, who says that whatever they were supposed to eat, the Kodshe Shah, they were even allowed to eat by day, and whatever not, then not. And why is he stressing Hayyoyin? The answer is, he would understand the word, meaning Chovas Hayyoyin. He would understand the word Hayyoyin, not, are you expecting that we should have eaten it today, but v'achalti chatas hayoyim, do you expect that I should have eaten the chatas of today? Meaning the chatas that is the choyv for today, namely because it's just choyvish. It could be chatas hayoyim is a valid way of saying it. Now, I mean, in the pasuk, actually, you have v'achalti chatas, and you have a pashka, which is a tam mastic, and chatas, and then you have hayoyim afterwards, so on the simple meaning of the pasuk, chatas and hayoyim are separate. But sometimes, because the pasha on the word chatos is mastic. But nevertheless, you sometimes find that the Chachamim darshan at variance with the Torah. You can find a few places in Chas where we darshan a pasuk, where we darshan one a word from one pasuk as being tied to the next pasuk, even though it's separated from it by a slight pasuk.
Well, yeah. The
Chirup is for the Kriya, but it's also for the meaning. The Chirup also tells us how to syntactically divide the words. But nevertheless, we sometimes find that the Chachamim darshan an idea. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. B'shleim alot of Nechemya, Heinu Dechtiv Hein Hayoyim. Now let's go back. According to Nechemya, we can understand what Aaron means when he says Hein Hayoyim Hikrivu, that this korban was brought. This korban was brought for chovas hayoyim, as he just said. The word hayoyim, and the word hayoyim means the korban of today. So therefore, in other words, kodshe doros. So therefore, you, how can you expect me to eat it? El rabbanon, my hein hayoyim. According to the rabbanon, that it's a distinction between eating it by day and eating it by night. Then why is he mentioning hein hayoyim hikrivu? Why is he mentioning that today they were that were they makriv today? Why the stress on that? The answer is, Hokukama, Hein Hikrivu. The answer is, according to the Rabbanon, you have to understand, the word Hein does not mean behold, or do you think that. It means Hein is like the word Hein, them. Hein Hikrivu. You think they're the ones who offered it? I'm the crafty. I'm the one who offered it today. And even though I'm an Onan, I'm entitled to offer it today, me being the coin bottle. So therefore, so according to the Rabbanon, that's what it means. Hein Hayoyim Hikrivu. You think they're the ones who offered the korban today when they're owning it? No, I am. If it said hey, 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 In Tanakh, Lashon Kodesh, Hain is for masculine and Hain is for feminine. In Gemara, Lashon, they're interchangeable a lot of times. But even in Tanakh, you have a number of places where you have Shloss Mem and Langen Nun interchange. I just saw recently, I was looking this up a few days ago in connection with somebody was asking me about this, about places, and you find some places in Tanakh where you have a masculine ending in connection with women, in connection with Midos Klofkot, for example. After some digging around, I came across a little poem by the Ibn Ezra about this, where he points out that after all, both Mem and Nun are what he calls Bnei Nocher. They're both nasal consonants, not from the Latin, Michirayim, nostrils. Mem and Nun are both nasal consonants. Mem also involves the nose as well. Yeah.
Okay.
stuff. That's why when a person has a cold, they then their M's sound more like V's. But yeah. But so that's how it is. Mem and Nun are both have a nasal component, and therefore the Ebenezer says therefore they can easily interchange. Anyway. But so Hain, according to the Chachamim, wouldn't it? So according to the Nechemiah, it's part of a question. According to the Yehuda and Reb Shimon, it means they. They weren't the ones who were mad with it, I was. Okay, so now going back to earlier we discussed, we said that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, when again, we had Rabbi Nechemiah saying that they burnt it because they were owning him, as we just discussed, and we had Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon saying no, if it was a matter of if they were owning him, they could have eaten it, then they didn't have to burn it, and they gave three reasons why not. First of all, if it was a matter of they were owning him, they should have burnt all three chatzos, not just the one of Rosh Chodesh. Number two, they could have eaten them that evening, as we just discussed. Number three, they had Pinchas with them, and Pinchas is not an oval, because Nadav and Abihu are his uncles. They're not close enough relatives for him to be an oval for. So now let's go through those. Now let's go through those arguments. We said in the Braita that Rabbi Hoda and Rabbi Shimon point out if it was a matter of aninus, then they should have burned all three of them. So my shloshtan, what do you mean? What's all three of them? What three chatzos are they? So the time if we learn in a Braita, the eighth the ir hachatas zorish dorash Moshe. The prophet says the stove, the goat of the chatas, Moshe sorted out. Well, that's what we're going to figure out which one it was. Dorish dorash Moshe. Moshe inquired after it. The word dorish dorash, by the way, are the two middle words of Chumash. And in fact, you know, the proper way to write in a Sefer Torah is supposed to be written dorash at the end of one line and next dorash at the beginning of the second line.
Oh, really? Do they usually do that?
I think they usually do that. I'm not sure, but yeah. Anyway. So why double expression? So first of all, se'ir, when it says se'ir hachatas, so se'ir means zu se'ir nachshon. This refers to the se'ir that nachshon brought as part of the korban. When it says chatas, zu chatas shin, that means the chatas that was brought because of the eighth day of the miluim. And so part of the dedication of the Mishkan. And when it says dorash, that he inquired, that means he was asking about se'ir shorash chodesh. He was asking about the se'ir of the chodesh, what happened. So Yachol Shloshtan Mitzvahu. So the Braita says you would think that all three of them were burnt, since you have in the Pesach Seir Achatas Dorish Dorish Moshe Behinei Soda. No, Talmud Lomah Behinei Soda. No, therefore the prophet continues, and it was burnt, meaning implying if only one of them Echad Nisra V'Lo Shloshtan Mitzvahu. Only one of them was burnt, not three of them. So and why Dorish Dorish Shei Drishis Lomah? Why does it say twice Dorish? Why the double expression? It means Amalahu, so because he's asking them two questions. Nickname Ma Chatas Zun Nisrufa, the Elamunafis. Why was this Chatas burnt? And why are these two Chatas being set aside? Why are you not eating them during the day? Because again, this is according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who hold that they would have been able to eat all three of them in the evening. But in the event one of them, the one of Rosh Chodesh, became tummy, so they couldn't eat it, and therefore they had to burn it. But the other two, meanwhile, they're keeping for the evening, and they'll eat them then. According to Nechemiah, they could be eating all three of them. They could be eating all three of them during the day. But he says that According to Nechemiah, we said that they were not supposed to eat them by minimus. But no, according to Nechemiah, we understand well. He makes the distinction kodshe shah, kodshe jodis. That he would say that they were told they eat the kodshe shah by minimus, not the kodshe jodis. Moshe thought that it applies to kodshe jodis as well, and therefore, when he found they didn't eat the one of the kodesh, he got upset. But here we're dealing according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so the any day who continues the bride now between Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Dura, that's right. So okay, so now based on that, okay, so we know there were three seerim. We don't know from so far which one was the one that was burnt through Omer. But now when Moshe says, "Va'osa nata machem l'seis avon eda," that Hashem gave that to you to be mechater, to take away the sins of the eda of the congregation of the Jewish people. Heavy Omer is a third of Shorash Chodesh. Then you have to say that refers to the third of Shorash, which is again that is meant for to be mechater on cases of tumas mikdash for kodshim, cases where a person was tomei and entered the mikdash or ate kodshim without realizing it, as we learned way back in Shul.
The ones of all the regalim we learned over there.
You have the ones of Rosh Chodesh, the ones of regalim. Yeah, we had different variations of what cases exactly they're machatas for. But yeah, that was the general picture. As opposed to again machatas of the chatas of the eighth day of the miluim, I mean, to a certain extent, it was meant in a certain sense, it was meant to be mechapel for chet, but not for any specific defined chet. It may have been for chet. Yeah, I think it was for chet ego. You have also the one of Nashon was meant to be mechapel in a certain sense for selling Yosef. Fine, but all of those, none of those are standard things that you bring a chapel for. So therefore, so we can say effectively that none of those are being mechapel the sins of the ego, as opposed to Rishkod, the one of Rishkod is meant to define in halacha that it has a purpose, Moshe Savona ego. From Moshe's word. Yeah. That's
strictly that.
We learned in Shmuel that the of Zozo on Yom Kippur and the power of God on Yom Kippur are mechapel for other things. Fine. Okay, so that explains what three chatois there were, and that explains, according to, that explains which one it was that was burned, the one of Rosh Chodesh. So again, according to Reb Nechemia, the reason why they ended up burning that one is because of Kodesh Yedotis. According to Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, they were saving all three of them for the night, but because they didn't hold, because according to them, there's no difference, Kodesh Yedotis, Kodesh Yedotis, but this one became Tomei and the other two didn't.
How did it become
Tomei? How did it become Tomei? History doesn't record that detail.
So
we have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon arguing to Rabbi Nechemia that if you're telling me it was burnt because of Aninus, then why weren't all three of them burnt? So the Gemara says, Shafra Tamrilay. Don't they have a very good point? Nu, what is Rabbi Nechemia going to answer to that? The answer is Reb Nechemia b'tamei. Nu, Reb Nechemia goes according to his shita. Drama kod sheshah le tosla b'hu aninu. Nu, he says that kod sheshah are an exception to the rule. A kohen can eat them when he's an onion. Therefore, he would say two out of the three of them were kod sheshah. Good, they should have eaten. They should have eaten them, and they did. The third one was kod shedoris. So Moshe thought they should eat that one as well. And Aaron tells him that no, you're deducing it wrongly because you can make a kavah chomer from mice. Next, Omar, Hoyloi Lo'ochol La'erev. Next, we said in the Braise, the second argument that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon use against Rabbi Nechemia is, according to you, why do they have to burn the third of Rosh Chodesh? Why don't they just wait until the evening and then they're not owning him anymore? So again, Shabbos Amulei, don't they have a very good point? What would Rabbi Nechemia answer? The answer is, Kastavra Aninus Laila Daraisa. He would hold that Aninus Laila is Daraisa, just as much as right day. So according to him, there's no possibility of eating it. If it was offered by day, it's a chatas. You only have until Alois Shachar to eat it. That's the deadline. That's also when Aninus expires, so they're not going to have any chance to eat it. So Kodesh Shah is one thing. Kodesh Dirtis is another thing. Okay, what about now the third one? Dover Achav Alei Pinchas Hayeman. We said Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argued a third point. Pinchas was there. Why would they have had to burn the third of a Chodesh according to you when they could have given it to Pinchas, who's not an Einan? So again, Shaper Tamulay. Isn't that a very good point? What would Rabbi Nechemia answer to that? The answer is, Sovalok Rabbi Lazar. The answer is that Rabbi Nechemia would hold like what Rabbi Lazar says. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar says, Pinchas was not a Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Sanina. Pinchas actually wasn't a Kohen at that point yet. Loinis Gain Pinchas Achahorgi Lazimri. Pinchas was not made a Kohen until much later, until the end of the 40 years when he killed Zimri. So therefore, at this point, he's not a Kohen. Rashi explains in on the Pesukim that the idea is that only the idea is Aaron and his four sons were anointed as Kohenim. Any children of theirs born thereafter are Kohenim. Pinchas was born before that, so therefore he wasn't automatically a Kohen until he earned it.
The other way, how can they even bring that in the Braise?
Because you have different opinions about that. Not everybody agrees with that. That's the point. Rabbi Lazar is saying in the name of Rabbi Hanina that he wasn't a Kohen yet. We're going to have another opinion that he only became a Kohen even later. But one second, but Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon don't have to agree to that. They can hold that Pinchas became a Kohen at the same time. And we have actually Gemaras that seem to imply that also. We had, for example, earlier in the Masechta, when we talked about the minimum amount of water that the Kiyor has to have in order to be a Kohenim to be Mekadosh Adayim Drag Mayim, it says there that you have to have enough for four Kohenim. And the Gemara said, I think the expression in the Gemara over there is, how do you have four? Aaron, Elazar, Isamar, and Pinchas. So according to that understanding, Pinchas is already a Kohen right from the beginning.
So if he wasn't a Kohen, according to that understanding, that he wasn't, what was he doing then?
Well, what's he doing? Maybe that he's Elazar's son.
No. According to one that he wasn't a Kohen
then. He wasn't necessarily even in the Azar. I mean, he was there as a spectator, like everybody else. He wasn't doing the Azar. We're not saying he was doing the Azar. Yeah?
Oh, okay.
But according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, sure, he was a Kohen, and he could very well have been doing the Avodah, and therefore they're saying, you according to you, Rabbi Nechemiah, then why did they have to burn it because they were owning him, instead of they could have given it to Pinchas to eat. Therefore, that's why we're saying that it must have been Mishum Tuma. Whereas Rabbi Nechemiah would answer to that, they couldn't give it to Pinchas because he wasn't yet a Kohen. As the passage says, "V'hoi saloyol zare achra brisku nafolim." As it says, after he killed Zimri, beginning of Parshas Pinchas, the passage says it should be for him and his descendants after him a bris of kahuna forever, implying the kahuna forever only begins over there, but not before that. Rav Ashi says it wasn't even then. There's even a later point. There's even a later point when Pinchas became a kohen, and that is at ad hashom shalom ben hashvatim, only when he made peace between the shvatim. So in Sefer Yoshua, according to Rav Ashi, no. So what it is like this. Much later, so you have, in Sefer Yoshua, you have, the killing of Zimri and Cosby is a few months before they went into Eretz Yisrael, a few months before Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. Zayin Abir Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Yud Nissen, they cross the Yarden and go into Eretz Yisrael, and then they start the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, takes them 7 years. Then they do the division of Eretz Yisrael, takes them another 7 years. Finally, after all that, Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad and Chassi Shevet Menashe are ready to cross the Yarden and go back to their land that they won for themselves in Parshas Matzah. So they go back, as in this, in Perek Chofeis of Yeshua. On their way back home, they stop by the banks of the Yarden and they build a big Mizbeach. All the other Shavatim became very alarmed. This is after Mishkan Shiloh is set up. Bamos Mizbeach, that's anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael, are strictly austere, as we're going to learn at the end of the Mesechta. So what are these guys doing? They're building themselves their own Mizbeach, or they're starting out, they're going to set up their own place of worshipping Hashem or whatever. So the other Shavatim are ready to go out to war against them, a civil war. But the rule is, before you go to war, the Torah tells us, the Karasei Elah Shalom, you first have to sue for peace. So therefore, so they send a delegation of the Nesiim of the Shavatim together with Pinchas to find out what on earth do you guys think you're doing. To make a long story short, the 2.5 Shabbatim explain, Chas v'Shalom, we didn't build this Mizbeach with intention to sacrifice on it outside the Mishkan, we know that's also. Just the opposite, we built it as a symbol that this way, in case in the future, the Shabbatim on your side of the Yarden are going to say, hey, you 2.5 Shabbatim, what do you have to do with Hashem? What do you have to do with the Mishkan? You're on the other side of the Yarden. You have nothing to do with the Jewish people. So just the opposite, we built this Mizbeach as a symbol that we have our share equally with everybody else in the Mizbeach and Shiloh. So then, when they heard that, the Pinchas and the Nesiim accepted that answer, and there was no war. So now, Rav Ashi is saying, at that point, maybe they should have explained themselves first. I don't know, but whatever. They explained themselves, and okay, fine. Okay, whatever it is, the point is, at that point, when Pinchas made peace between the Shvatim, then at that point, Rav Ashi is saying is when he became a Kohen.
These two Shvatim were
Reuven. 2.5 Shvatim, Reuven, God, and half Manasseh.
Twitter.
Okay. So Shanef, Twitter is the opposite of making Shalom between the Shvatim.
You made them in Zayas over there.
Okay. Come on.
No, we did it.
Shenemar, the Pasuk says over there in Yeshua, Hayishma Pinchas the Kohen and Nesiah HaHedah, Pinchas the Kohen, and this is the first time in all of Tanakh that he's introduced as Pinchas HaKohen. Before that, it was Pinchas ben Elazar, or Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen, or Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. This is the first time where the name HaKohen is attached to his name. So Hayishma Pinchas HaKohen and Nesiah HaHedah, V'roshi Alpi Yisrael V'gomer, they heard and they accepted, and then they accepted the answer. So therefore, Rav Ashi says, the fact that it says Pinchas HaKohen implies that now for the first time he became a Kohen.
And therefore then he was not.
Until then he was. So the question is, V'idach Nami V'akhti V'hoi Saloi V'zari Ashrav. So new according to that opinion, on the face of it, that opinion means Rav Ashi, although it's an odd way of saying it if we just finish with Rav Ashi's explanation, to say V'idach. So you have a couple of
years.
No, it's the standard way of doing it in the Gemara, but usually you have, usually the way of the Gemara is, you'll have opinion A, you have opinion B, then we'll say, so opinion B brings their proof from such and such. So now, what does A do with it? The Idach, what does A do with it? And the answer is such and such. Okay, so now what does B do with that? With that proof, such and such. Here, when we just quoted Rav Ashi and we're saying the Idach is a bit of an unusual way of doing it. You have some of the Achronim want to say, I think it's Chasemis it is, who wants to say that the Idach is actually referring back to Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. They who hold that Pinchas is a Kohen all along, so what are they doing with the Pasuk, V'hoi Saloi Lazare Achrov, which is only after he killed Zimri? So the answer is, Kiksivahu Gebracha, who just did. Fine, that passage is saying that Hashem is giving him a bracha, that Hashem is giving him a bracha, that the kahuna will continue among the kahuna Gdolah specifically, will continue throughout all his generations. So it doesn't mean, in other words, that you can say that he himself was not a kohen yet. But the pasuk is giving him a bracha that when you become a kohen, then it will continue in your family.
Initially, it was just.
In other words, we can have that. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we would say that he was a kohen all along. So therefore, the bracha who dichtiv would mean that kahuna is going to continue in his family, that his family is never going to go extinct, and there's always going to be kohen from them. If we say that he only became a kohen at that time, then it would mean this is not just a bracha for the future. It's telling him right now you're becoming a kohen. And according to Rav Ashi, it also means you have a bracha which right now, according to Rashi's explanation, is pending. Eventually, when you become a kohen, then this bracha will be chal, and your descendants will be kohenim for all time. It's not according to Rav Ashi. It wasn't chal yet until after the 14 years with the story of Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad.
Initially, the kahuna was just for this, strictly the, which, how many sons of Aaron?
It was Aaron and his four sons. But then, and then two of them died. So again, according to the Yehuda and Rav Shimon, it was also Pinchas, and according to the Nehemiah, it wasn't.
Pinchas' father was Elazar?
Pinchas' father was Elazar.
And the other, so he was the son of Aaron.
So he was the grandson of Aaron, sure. But again, according to the Nehemiah's way of looking at it, and Rabbi Loza's way of looking at it, he didn't yet become a Kohen just because his grandfather and his father became Kohen, and he himself didn't become a Kohen yet because he wasn't anointed along with them, and then he doesn't automatically become a Kohen.
Was he grandson at the time?
I don't know. He's the only one who's recorded in the book, anyway. Yeah. So, yeah,
if all these things haven't happened, you would have become a Kohen after they passed away?
No, not necessarily. Because eventually Elazar and Itamar had other children. If it hadn't been for killing Zimri, or if it hadn't been for making Sholem between the Shvatim, maybe never, according to these various opinions.
But you were still the grandson of Aaron.
So what?
The kahuna is
given to Aaron and his sons and were alive at the time, as well as any grandchildren who would be born thereafter, not to Pinchas, who was already born at that time. Pinchas had to earn it by his own deeds, which eventually he did. In fact, there's an explanation, among the many explanations why Takanah, one interesting explanation is because if he had been a Kohen at that time, he couldn't have killed Zimri and Kazi, he would have become Tamimet. I don't remember if I mentioned an interesting idea that I saw on this. I know I mentioned it as a Shabbos Tartarada a few weeks back, wherever I was eating at the time, but the point is, Why is it that Hashem rewarded Pinchas with the kahuna? Because you have the din that a kohen who kills somebody is never allowed to duchen or to do the avodah. So on the face of it, then Pinchas, you have to think, Pinchas for his whole life is expecting one day maybe Hashem will allow me to be a kohen. But now he has a calculation to make. If I kill Zimri and Cosby, then I'm going to forfeit it forever because a kohen shahara gafa nefesh is not allowed to serve the kohen. Nevertheless, he doesn't make any cheshbon if he goes and does it because he has to do it, because it's the right thing to do. And therefore, so Hashem says, effectively, you were willing to give up what you've been waiting for your whole life, the ability to have the kohuna. Therefore, in order to go on the siddur nefesh and in order to save the Jewish people and in order to fight against the siddur avera, therefore I will reward you with what you were willing to give up, namely the kohuna. Okay, anyway, getting back to Gemara.
He still killed somebody,
but in this case, it was killing for a valid purpose, so therefore Hashem made an exception. The same Hashem who makes the rule that says that Kohen Jehorah Gethan Nefesh is not allowed to do it.
That means, like, why
is
the Kohen right
on the one out of the 10? No, he's a Kohen when Hashem makes him a Kohen, which is a few seconds later. After he's done with Zimri and Cosby, after I guess they took him and buried him or whatever they did with them, and yeah.
Not changed his mind.
Up until then, Pinchas hadn't done anything that made him deserving of the corona. Now Hashem says there's a reward for what he did, then he has Anyway, the point is, okay. What about according to the opinion that he was a Kohen from beforehand? Why does the Pasuk stress in connection with the story of Reuven and God that Pinchas HaKohen heard? The answer is, well, Yaakov Zarayasa, fine, but that tells us that it's not just that he was a Kohen, it means that he's the beginning of a line of Kohen and Golem. From then on, the Kohen and Golem, it was determined, the Kohen and Golem are going to be from Pinchas. There was actually a period of time when they weren't, when they were descended from Issachar, Eli and his family, but after that, after Eli and his family forfeited because of their actions, then it went back to Pinchas and remained with his descendants throughout the whole time of the first and the second Bavim.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it is now.
Well, now there's no Kohen and Golem, but when Mashiach comes, then it'll be again, yes. In fact, you have the Sukkim in Yechezkel, where Yechezkel says that actually you have many families of Kohenim worshipped up at Azara during the time of the first Beis Mikdash. That makes them ineligible to serve in the Beis Mikdash. Only the family of Tzadik, which is the first Kohen Gadol in the first Beis Mikdash, only that family remain loyal to Hashem. Therefore, they're the ones who are going to be Kohenim in the third Beis Mikdash. And Tzadik is a descendant of Pinchas. So, yeah. According to the Kohen and Golem, the third Beis Mikdash are going to be from the family of
Mashiach.
Yeah, that's the job of Mashiach and of Eliyahu, is to figure out the lineage. Yeah, we've discussed that before. Tosfos, by the way, has a different take on this whole thing about the bracha who d'ksiv and all. Tosfos says that it may have actually been a two-part process. Right away, after he killed Zimri and Cosby, Hashem comes and tells him, Hinini Nosem Lois Brisi Shalom, Behoifaloy Lazara Akarov, Bris Kahuna Solom, he's a Kohen. However, for a person to become a Kohen, he needs to go through an inaugural process. He needs to be dressed in the clothes of the Kohenim. He needs to be, at that time, anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. He needs to bring the Minchas Kavitin. So maybe Tosfos says what happened is, because he killed a Nasi of a Shevet, and we know from Rashi on the Ksukim over there that all the Shvatim were making fun of him, Ayitachen, you see this Ben Kuti, you see this grandson of Yisrael, who went and killed a Nasi Shevet in Yisrael. So therefore, because of that, Tosfos learns that they may not have wanted to accept him as a Kohen. Later on, all these years later, after the story was B'nai Reuven and B'nai Gad, then everybody realized, you know, it's high time we did that. Now that he made Shalom between the Shvatim, now we accept him as a Kohen, now we'll do the official inauguration.
Ben Kuti because?
Because Shafitim Agolim, because Yisrael fattened up calves for Abed Azara, so he had a cruel streak, so they're arguing that Pinchas right, did this also out of cruelty. And Hashem says, no, Pinchas can allow an iron a Kohen. He did it out of chesed. Anyway, the point is, Tosfos is saying that when our Gemara is saying that you have, he became a Kohen after he killed Zimri and Cosby, versus he became a Kohen after he made Shalom between the Shvatim, both Tosfos is saying might be true. There's one de jure, that in principle he's a Kohen, but the other one is de facto, that in practice he becomes a Kohen by having the inauguration, and that may have only happened after. Omar Rav. So now Rav says in this connection, speaking of the Kohenim, Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu actually was a Kohen Gadol, v'cholak b'kodshei shamayim haya, and he was able to get his own portion like a Kohen would of the kodshim. Shenemar, as you have in the pasuk regarding the korbanos of the miluim, one of them was a shlomim. And the pasuk says that they took the chest of it, me'el amiluim l'moshe hoya l'mana, from the ram that was brought from miluim, they gave it to Moshe as a portion, which is the same expression, in other words, as is used regarding a portion given to the Kohen. So in other words, it's not just that Moshe is eating from it like a Yisrael would from certain kohen. He's eating from it as a Kohen would. He's being given this portion as a Kohen would, or a Kohen Gadol in this case, would be given from kohen. I have a contradiction. We learned in the Braise before, it's not just a side thing, it's a connection with what we said before. We just said that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are arguing why did they have to burn the third of the Shodesh when they could have given it to Pinchas to eat. And Rabbi Nechemiah is answering because Pinchas wasn't yet a Kohen. In Issa, but if you're telling me, Rav, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen, follow Moshe Rabbeinu, hold your mind, then you have a better thing. You have Moshe Rabbeinu was there. They could have given it to him to eat. The answer is, Yom HaShayni Moshe, it's Hored B'Shina. Yes, but it might be different with Moshe Rabbeinu because he was busy with talking to Hashem. So you constantly have it. He's on call all the time. So he's on time all the call. He's on call all the time to be called by Hashem at any moment, like when he was on Har Sinai. Therefore, he wouldn't have had the time to eat the korban like that.
He
has to eat something because he's a human being. Only on Har Sinai, he's got 40 days without eating. But fine, a chazer, one piece of meat from the korban that he can take the time to eat. But a whole korban, a whole sire, that. Yeah.
That's a lot of eating. How would they even be able to eat the whole thing? But there's only four koans.
De'omamar, as in fact, we say in a braisa, in connection with Matan Torah, Moshe v'ashkoma olo v'ashkoma yorod. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai every morning, early in the morning, and then he came back down in the morning. So we see how busy Moshe was with talking to Hashem all the time, and therefore he wouldn't have had the time to eat the korban. You can't necessarily prove from that that Moshe was not a Kohen Gadol. He may well have been a Kohen Gadol, but he wouldn't have been in a position to eat these kosher. Well, every morning during the day before Matan Torah. But yeah, the point is, even after Matan Torah, in other words, yeah. Besides that, also, yeah, he's judging the people. He's a very busy person. Okay. All right. Not Har Sinai, but okay. By the way, I forgot to mention, by the way, in connection with this thing about Pinchas and the Kohenim Gadolim descending from him, Tosfos mentions over here that altogether there were 80 Kohenim Gadolim in the first Beit HaMikdash and 300 in the second Beit HaMikdash who were all descended from Pinchas.
And then?
So that's it. Well, then the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, then there's no more Kohenim Gadolim. So the point is, if you see how great Pinchas' reward was, that it wasn't just a few Kohenim Gadolim, it was 380 of them. Fine. The Gemara says, okay, going back to Moshe.
You
know what? Yeah. Okay. Okay, shit. In the Pasuk, actually, you have, when it says, Hinini Noisim, and when it says, Shalom, if you look in a Sefer Torah, you'll see that the Vav of Shalom is here. It's broken. In a certain sense, it looks like a Yud. So they say on that may be, because if you read it as if it was a yud, then you have Shin Lamed Yud Mem is Gematria, 380,
wow,
corresponding to this number of Kohenim Gadolim. All right, going back to the Gemara, says I have a contradiction. So you're telling me that Moshe was a Kohen Gadol. However, we learn in a braisa like this. Now the Pasuk says, regarding a Balmum, the Pasuk says, Lechem alekav mikodshe akadoshim min akadoshim yonso. That it says a Balmum. Now, we learned in our Mishnah, a Balmum is able to eat kodshim, unlike most other Kohenim who have stolen. He doesn't get his own independent portion, but he's able to eat from it. He said he said he does get his own independent portion, didn't we? We said he does. We learned from Cold Offer. We're Kohenim Gadolim. Well, not all the Kohenim Gadolim during the second Beit HaMikdash were such good people, that's true, but yeah, okay, fine. The fact is, they still have this foot to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and serve Hashem, so, you know. Okay, anyway. So by Balmum, the Pasuk says that he can eat from Kodshe Kodshim and from Kodshim, meaning Kodshim Kalim. So you have to ask him, Nemer Kodshe Kodshim, Lama Nemer Kodshim Kalim. Vim Nemer Kodshim Kalim, Lama Nemer Kodshe Kodshim. Why does it have to mention both? Mention one and we'll understand the other one from there. So like this, either when Nemo Kodshim Kalim, if it didn't mention Kodshim Kalim, if it only said that about Mum could eat from Kodshim Kodshim, you would think, Koyisi Omer, Kodshim Kodshim would also, fine, sure, he can eat Kodshim Kodshim, so Hasharei Hutru Lazor, because we, Jare Hutru Lazor Vlahem, because we find a case where Kodshim Kodshim were mutter to a Zor as well as the Kohen. Now, the reason why, the Machshin is assuming, that who is the Zor? Moshe. Namely, when it came to the Korbanos of the Miluim. That the Elam Miluim was, that contradicts what Rav is saying, and it was a claim, exactly. So the Pasuk says over there that this Elam Miluim had to be eaten in the Azara, which means that it's Kodshe Kodshim, and yet we see Moshe got a portion of it. So if it only said that a Balmum can eat from Kodshe Kodshim, you could say, okay, once the Torah made an exception, one time in history, that Kodshe Kodshim can be eaten by Azara, fine, therefore we can say that a Balmum can also eat from Kodshim Kalim lo yoiko, but maybe we should argue about Mum should not be able to eat Kodshim Kalim, because we never find a Zor eating those portions that are reserved for the Kohenim from them, that is. The Ilu Lo Nemer, Kodshim Kodshim, on the other hand, if it didn't mention Kodshim Kodshim, then you would think the other way around. The Kodshim Kodshim Yeheyoiko, Shem Kalim, fine, you can eat Kodshim Kalim, because after all, they're Kalim, they're more lenient. They have longer times you can eat them, they can be anywhere in your shrine, etc. The Kodshim Kodshim, Lo Yoyecho, you would think though Kodshim Kodshim are more stringent, maybe a Balmum should be eaten from them. L'chach Nem, or Kodshim Kodshim, or L'chach Nem, or Kodshim Kodshim.
Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen Gadol for the Yimei and
Miluim. Well, so that's the thing. According to Rav, it sounds like we're talking at least during the time of the Miluim, and maybe even after that.
It seems to contradict.
But that's the thing. This Braisa that we just quoted, which calls him a Zor, seems to contradict that. There is, by the way.
When he was a Zor the next day.
Well, but the fact is, during the Shiva Samayam Elohim, so you know what, though? Actually, Rashi mentions at the end of Parashat Tzav, Rashi mentions the point based on a Gemara that we learned in Avodah Zarah, that during those 7 days, Moshe didn't wear Bigdei Kohuna. He wore Cholot Lavan Shaloi. He wore white garments of his own. We learned it in Avodah Zarah. And actually, there's a Sticha you mentioned before, a Sticha, so I didn't think to look up the Sticha before about the argument between Aaron and Moshe, but I did look up this one, the Sticha in Chelet Lamed Beis, where the Rebbe analyzes it and explains that according to Rashi's understanding, the point is that according to Rashi's understanding of the Sukkim, at least, not which is not necessarily the same as the Gemara over here, in fact, Moshe did not have the status of a Kohen during those days. Therefore, Rashi has to stress that he didn't wear Bigdei Kohuna, that he only wore Cholot Lavan in the Shalom. Anyway, the point is, Rav is saying he was a Kohen Gadol, even at least during the Shiva Siman Elohim. The Braisa seems to be contradicting that, so they call him a Zer. Tatanim Yashare Hotur Lazor V'lahem. Lav Moshe, so presumably the Zor of the Braisa refers to Moshe, in which case it means that it's calling him a Zor during the Shiva Siman Elohim. Rav Sheshet Loi, the Bama Lazor. No, Rav Sheshet says, we're not talking about during the Shiva Siman Elohim. We're talking about when a Kohen is brought on a Bama, when a korban is brought on a bomber, as we're going to learn in the last paragraph about bringing korbanos on bombers during the periods of history when it's allowed, lazar, where they were saying a zor can eat from it, and that would have to be a kedivrei ha'omer yesh mincha b'bomber. So this statement, this braisa, would be according to the opinion that says that you're able to bring korban mincha on a bomber, because that's the only kind of kodshim that could potentially be on a bomber. The other kinds of kodshim, a chatas and an osham, you don't bring on a bomber. The only thing, you can only bring on a bomber korbanos that can be nidr v'nidr, things that can be brought voluntarily, namely an ola and a shlomim, and according to some opinions, a mincha. Well, an ola is not eaten, a shlomim is kodshu tatim, and a mincha is kodshu kodshim. So if our braisa that we just quoted is telling us that we have an example where kodshu kodshim can be eaten by a zor, it doesn't necessarily have to mean Moshe during the 7 days of Milorin. It means a zor eating from a mincha that's offered on a bomber, according to the opinion that a mincha can be offered on a bomber. Okay.
Any
bummer? Any bummer, whatever. Yeah, well, until the bit. Obviously, a bummer during the time when it's allowed. During the time when it's not allowed, person's high of courage for offering on a bummer. We're going to learn that in the next two chapters. Okay. So no contradiction to Rav, who's saying that Moshe was a Kohen Gadol, because the Braisa is not addressing Moshe at all. The Braisa is talking about a Zohar eating from a mincha that was brought on a bummer. Okay, fine. Nathan, Moshe says, okay, but I have another contradiction. A Braisa says, when Miriam got Torah, Miriam Mihis Gira. Who declared Miriam to have Torah? You know, we know that Torah depends on a Kohen declaring the person Tomei. Who was doing that? In term of Moshe his Gira, you're going to say Moshe did it. Moshe Zorhu. Moshe is a Zor. Vein Zor Goyas and a Goyim. And a Zor cannot look at Negoyim and declare them Tomei or Torah. It has to be a Kohen. The in term of Aaron his Gira, you're going to say that it was Aaron did it. No, Aaron Korev, who Aaron is a relative of Miriam because he's a brother, but in Korev, Royas and Agoyim, a relative is not able to, so there's a lot of explanations. Marsha says that you're right, so the Braisa could have mentioned also that he's a relative, but the Braisa mentioned a different reason. When it comes to Aaron, you only have the one reason. When it comes to Moshe, you have two reasons. There's an explanation, though, that's brought from a number of Achroinim. I've also seen it in the name of the Kosker and various other sources, that the verse is Moshe was on such a high level that it's like the same way as we say he had to separate from his wife, unlike all the other Nevi'im, the same way, like, he has no more relatives. It's like Miriam and he are, like, two completely different types of entities anymore. They're not, in effect, they're not brother and sister anymore. He's on a whole different level. The only problem is, no, he's still a czar. I've seen it in the name of the Kosker and others, yeah. Anyway, the point is, now, this Vein Korev Royas and Negoyim, by the way, is not universally accepted. It's actually a machloikas in the sect of Negoyim. Reb Meir holds that way. The Chachamim disagree with him. The Halacha is actually like the Chachamim. Sure. But our Braisa over here is going according to Reb Meir. So therefore, we're left open with the question, who declared her to have Torah? Ella, so the Braisa. It has to be. According to Reb Meir, can't see Negoyim. According to the Chachamim, Korev could see Negoyim. By the way, I mean, Marshall. Yes. Yes, so according to Chacham, it's no problem. Aaron could declare her a Mitzaras, and then afterwards declare her Torah when it goes away. But according to the mayor, and by the way, Marshall also points out, what about Pinchas, according to the opinion that Pinchas was a Kohen, as we said before. So the fact is, Pinchas is not a close relative of Horus, but he may be close enough for it to be an issue. The same way as we learned in Sanhedrin that you have Shlishi Berishin, that's a person 2 degrees of relation away, is still possible later. So you could argue, according to the mayor, the same thing would be true of a nephew, which is what Pinchas was, say. Okay. Great nephew, actually. Anyway. Ella covered God of Cholak wa Akkadosh Baruch Hu Miriam Moiseshah. The Braisa says, no, what it is at that point, Hashem showed great honor to Miriam. Hashem says, Ani Kohen, he says, I'm a Kohen, Bani Maskira, so I will declare her quarantine, Ani Chol, so I will declare her definitively to have Faras, Bani Praetor, and I will declare her Potter. When the Faras is healed. So that's the Braita is quoting his saying. That's the Braita is saying. This is what Hashem said. Kotoni miyat Moshe zor vein zor royas anigoyim. So the bottom line is the Braita is saying Moshe is a zor. A zor can't see anigoyim. So doesn't that contradict what we just said? What Rav said that Moshe is a kohen gadol. The answer is Amar of Nachman Reish Kach Shiny Maris Nigoyim. It's different when it comes to actually to seeing and diagnosing Farah. The Aaron of one of Sum Bapasha. They would just say it has to be a kohen. They would actually use the word Aaron and his son. No matter how you slice it, Moshe is not a son of Aaron. He might be a Kohen, like Rav is saying, but he's not a son of Aaron. Therefore, the prophet is excluding him from that. No, so it's not a contradiction. As far as Negoyim, he can be considered a Zor, because he's not a son of Aaron. But as far as other purposes, he could be a Kohen. Where it doesn't spell out Aaron of Ronald.
Wait, if
Hashem's
saying that, isn't the Kohen representing Hashem? That's why they meant to the Kohen.
Well, here we're talking about Sarah, not the Kabbalists, but yeah.
So if Hashem said that, it could be even if he says that, it could be a Kohen that did that.
No, that's the point. We're saying there is no Kohen available, because Moshe is not available, because for this purpose he's considered, at least for this purpose, he's considered a Zohar. Aaron can't, because according to the mayor, he's a relative, and a relative can't. And therefore, so Hashem says, I'll do it myself. Choice?
What about his
Aaron's sons would also be relatives of, Miriam, that are nephews.
Until one be considered a relative.
So we learned in Sanhedrin, we learned about different degrees of relativeness. For this purpose, for example, if Pinchas had a son, then it would probably be fine. But, yeah.
Great grandnephew.
Joseph actually brings up an interesting thing that the Sifri says, that Aaron says to Moshe, so what are you going to do? There's nobody able to be master and the Tame and the Tire. So Joseph asks, so what's the problem? If the din is a person's not considered to have Saraf until a Kohen diagnoses them, so no problem. So what's the problem? She won't be quarantined and there won't be any problem. Why does Hashem have to step in and say, I'll do it? So Joseph leaves it as a question. You have some of the Mephoshim explain that the vote is, since after all, the whole purpose of Saras is it's supposed to be a kapara for the person. The person has to go through the whole cycle of being quarantined and being outside the machna and so forth. So like this, if Aaron's saying, if that's not going to be done, then she's going to have a Saras permanently, and that would be a terrible thing. So in that sense, it would be a loss for her.
And it wouldn't have died.
Well, that too, right? But Rabbi Yaakov Emden has an interesting discussion about this in one of his Tshuvas. He wants to say that actually, if it's blatantly Saras, he wants to say you don't necessarily need a Kohen to diagnose it. You do need a Kohen in order to be Matar, the person, but Rabbi Yaakov Emden wants to learn, based on this Gemara and this Tosfos over here, that maybe that's the word. Since it's blatantly obvious, that's the point, in other words, so that's the thing. So, according to him, since it's blatantly obvious that she has Saras, she is most definitely Tame. One second. But Aaron is saying, in that case, we have a problem. Who's going to be able to make her Tahar? For that, you need a Kohen, no question about it. And I can't do it, and I can't do it, and Moshe can't do it. And that's when Hashem steps in. So Hashem is primarily saying, I need Kohen. While he's at it, Hashem is saying, you know what, I'll do the whole thing as well. I'll declare her Matoda and so forth. But according to that way of looking at it, it doesn't necessarily have to be that you would have needed anybody to declare her to be Tomei of Saras, because it would be very obvious that she was. Fine. The point is still no contradiction to what Rav is saying, that Moshe was a Kohen, because we call him a Zor only relative to Saras over here. Mace Fitting Moshe says, I have another contradiction. A Braisa says, Chomish Smachos Hoseh Elisheva Yisera Al B'nai Yisrael. On that day, the Miluim, Elisheva had 5 things, 5 types of happiness in which she excelled over all the other Jewish women. Yivamah Melech, her brother-in-law is the king of the Jewish people, meaning Moshe. Isha Kohen Gadol, her husband Aaron is a Kohen Gadol. Bna Sgan, her son Elazar is Sgan, is the deputy Kohen Gadol. Ben Bna Meshuach Nochama, her grandson Pinchas is the Kohen Meshuach Nochama, because you see he was sent by the war. He was sent by the war with Midian. Obviously, this Braita goes according to the opinion that we were saying before that Pinchas was a Kohen all along, not according to the other opinion. V'achia Nasi Shevet, her brother Nachshon Ben Aminadav was the Nasi of Shevet of Shevet Yehuda, and yet V'azelal Shnei Banah, and yet on that same day she was an Avelus for her two sons Nadav and Aviv. In fact, the Medrash on Kehelas brings us as an example of that no happiness on earth is ever 100% complete. Even she, who had this ultimate happiness in this five different ways, nevertheless, yes. The point is, Kapani Miyas Yivama Melech, it says that her brother-in-law, meaning Moshe, is a king, implying Melech Ein Kohen Gadol, why? Implying he's only a king, not he's a Kohen Gadol. If he was a Kohen Gadol, it should have said there's six things in which she should have said that her brother-in-law is a king and a Kohen Gadol, and her husband is a Kohen Gadol. Apparently, according to this, yeah.
Would you be sure?
Well, during the time of the Second Mishnah, she had the Hashmonai kings who were Kohen Gadol, and it wasn't the right thing for them to do. But the point is,
was there ever a Kohen who was a Melech?
Well, again, the Hashmonaim, yeah, we're that.
But you're
fine. Maybe, but there may actually be a machloikus between the Rambam and the Ramban on that. So the Ramban in Parashat Vayechi writes very harshly about the Hashmonaim, that they took the kingship for themselves, and that's why he said eventually they were wiped out. Whereas with the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah, when he summarizes the events that led to the next Chanukah, he mentions among the positive events over there that kingship returned to the Jewish people for over 200 years until the second Beit Mikdash was destroyed, which seems to imply that he sees the kingship of the Hashmonaim as a positive thing. Anyway, whatever. The point is that this is the point is.
Look at the Rambam. He doesn't say that it was positive. The way I read it.
I don't know, but maybe. But in any case, also, that's after Malchus Beis David came into existence. This is before, just 400 years before. So yes, Moshe can be considered. Well, effectively, that's what we're saying. According to Rav, yeah, we're saying that Moshe was a Kohen Gadol even after the 7 days of Milurim, and Aaron was also. So yeah, in that case, you can have two. You can have, by the way, later in history also, it's possible to have. The Gemara talks about in other places, for example, you have Kohen Pashuach and Kohen Sha'avar. You can have a person who has been serving as Kohen Gadol and then, for example, becomes Tomei or otherwise becomes temporarily disqualified. So they appoint a different Kohen Gadol instead. Later on, eventually, the first one becomes Tahor or recovers or what have you. And now you have two people who are living Kohen and Gadol. The din is the first one goes back to being Kohen Gadol. The second one, the second one can't serve as either a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedya. But that's Mishum Eva. That's because you don't want there to be friction between them. There's not going to be friction between Moshe and Aaron.
Even if the first one dies.
Well, no, if the first one dies, and the second one is first in line. He's first in line to be the next Kohen Gadol. Right. Okay. Anyway, let's finish up the okay. So the answer is Ema Achmela. Okay. You have to fix up the Braisa. Yeah. What it means is that her brother-in-law Elisheva is not only a Kohen Gadol, but also on top of that a king. Yeah. So it would mean the Braisa could very well mean that he had both advantages. So still no contradiction to Rav who's saying that he's a Kohen Gadol, because the Braisa is not necessarily saying that he wasn't. It's just saying that he has the dignity of a king, not talking about what other dignities he may have. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with a machlokas on this whether Moshe is a Kohen Gadol or not. In addition to being a Kohen Gadol, he's also a Kohen Gadol. But the version that we quoted was Melech and five Melech, but not Kohen Gadol. If we say Ach Melech, then it means also a king, meaning no contradiction to Rav, who says that in addition he's also a Kohen Gadol.
And that's the truth, that you can be a Kohen Gadol and a
Melech? Again. That Moshe was, according to this way of looking at it, yes, that it applies in future generations, that, for example, the Hashmonaim could do that, not necessarily. Especially because, again, they were after Malchus Beis David was established, and Hashem had promised David that the kingship is never going to go away from his descendants. So therefore, especially according to the Ramban, the Hashmonaim had no business setting themselves up a kingship, especially like Aaron is saying, a permanent kingship.
But prior to that, maybe.
Prior to that, maybe, yes.